Yeah, I know, right?
It's bigger.
That's how you can tell. I'm like a tree, you know? You have to, you're going to be able to tell how old I am by counting it or something.
I love it. I love it. Are you fine? How was the pandemic? How are you deal with this?
With the pandemic? It's been fine. I started working, I think I may have told you this, I can't remember, but I had started working with a theater that's near here. And so I was a company member. So every day, and they're only a couple of miles from my house. So every day I would go there and there would be the fellow company members. So they were our kind of, they were my pandemic pod. I don't know if you guys know, you know, pod, right? So, you know, 8 to 9 hours a day, I was seeing 5 or 6 other people every day. So I never really felt like I was, you know, locked in my house. But everywhere, the theater had to close after January 1st. So now I'm in my house a lot.
But this is a problem for you, stay in your house. You are an outdoor guy. You love to, you know, go around, have fun with people. Go outside.
I hate going outside. Oh man, I hate outside. I fucking hate it. I mean, it's okay to sit out there, but you know, like my wife loves to garden. So she's always like, you know, she's thrilled because it's spring and she's digging up and planting and doing all this sort of stuff. My kids love it and I hate it. So, I like staying inside. And so in a way, you know, I'm going crazy. The truth is, I'm not really going that crazy. I realize I don't need to see people that much. How about you? Are you going crazy?
No, I don't talk about this too much because everybody is complaining about the pandemic. Everybody is having problems. They are anxious. They are going crazy. But I am loving it because I am practicing social distance since I was a kid, you know?
Yes.
So it's not a problem for me to stay home. I love being alone in my home, doing my stuffs. I have problem when people invite me to go outside and join with them in parties, in social networks. I hate it. So the only thing that I am missing a lot, it's go outside to eat. I love to eat. I love to go to restaurants, but that's it. Just eat and drink, not party, nothing. I'm having a lot of fun. I moved to the country because I was stuck in São Paulo, and I lived in the front of the house of the governor of the state.
Oh.
And there are a lot of anti-vax and flat earth people complaining about the lockdown and these decisions from the government, and they are doing riots in the front of my house, and I became crazy about it, and I moved to the country. Now I am without neighbors, without riots, without traffic, without people. I am loving it. I'm loving it. So the pandemic is so good to me that I cannot express this too much because people became sad.
You know, it's so funny that you bring this up, right? Because last time we talked, I told you about the studies that I'm working with. I'm working with a panel of people because studies suggest that participating in the community is important for good health, right? And who says that? The neurotypicals say that, right? And then once the pandemic hit, you know, everybody's going like, oh, now we all know what it's like to be autistic and not go out. And I'm like, no, you don't, because you want to go out. We don't want to go out. And then we, because of the pandemic, so the first year that we did this, we did three meetings all across the United States, and we invited people to come and tell us about stuff. The main thing the first year was everybody on the panel with me. I'm the only autistic person. So everyone else was, kind of going along with, like, you know, the research says that you need to go out and you need to go to spend time with people. You need to participate in the community. And these are the ways that you should participate in the community. And then finally, autistic people were asked, what do you think? And they were like, we don't want it. Or those are not the things we want to do. And everybody who was not autistic went, what? And it's been interesting because even with the funders who gave us money, they were like, wait, you're talking about stuff that nobody has ever said before. And we had to make the case. We said, yeah, no one's ever said this before because no one's ever asked the autistic people before. Everybody made up their minds. This is what autistic people want because that's what they want, right? And it's been very interesting because now with the pandemic, we have, we're doing two more big meetings, but of course we can no longer meet in person. So instead of meeting in person, we did a thing. It was my idea. Let's do conversations before the big meeting. We'll have one-on-one conversations where we can just simply say to people, autistic people and NTs, so when you go out and you participate in the community, what do you like to do? What do you like to do? Why do you like to do it? And how do you do it, right? And what kept coming back was everybody said they like to spend time with their friends. Everybody said they don't care how they do it, as long as they can spend time with their friends. Everybody said they like to spend time with their friends someplace where no one will judge them. Everybody said that. Okay, so that makes sense, right? But what we also are aware is that there are all these organizations, arts organizations and city organizations. And they're like, oh, we're going to do a special thing for autistic people so they can get out and communicate and, I'm sorry, participate in the community. And they're like, and now we have evidence, right? We have data where we go, hey, you know what? Nobody likes to do that shit. Nobody. Nobody likes to do that. Nobody likes to go to a big crowded place where they don't know anybody. That's not fun. So when the art museum goes like, oh, we're going to do a special event, nobody wants that, right? Nobody wants to go to the theater. You know, it's like, what do they want to do? Just what you said. They want to go to the bars and they want to go to the restaurants with their friends and hang out. So every cultural organization has been going, look what we're doing for autism. Fuck you. Because it's like, nobody wants to do that. So this is now, I think we're about to turn a lot of things, you know this phrase, turn things on their head, right? Turn things upside down, turn things on their head. Because the perceived wisdom has always been what's good for NTs is good for autistics. So then we had to ask another question because then we said, oh, go out and participate in your community. What's your community, right? So then that got interesting because very few people could actually define for themselves, for the NTs, what's your community? Well, I guess, you know, where I live. And so then we got into this big discussion. God, they are so lucky I'm on this team. Because I was like, look, if an autistic person is in the basement on the computer, right, with a community of people who are all playing games or their friends, and they're typing and they're friends and they're having social interaction. Why is that wrong? But it's much better if they go to the park, you know, or they go do this or they do that. And what it really comes down to is, I feel, because I hate the outside, I feel like what people are really saying is, no. They have to go out where we can see them. They have to go out so that we know that they're interacting. And they better do it in fresh air. Right? They need to be out. Did your mother ever say this when you were a kid? Raphael, go outside and play. It's good for you. Go get some fresh air. Go get some sun, right? And I feel like, are we hearing the same thing? Are we hearing people kind of go, hey, autistic kid, go out and get some fresh air. We don't want to go out and get fresh air, but you need to go out and get fresh air because you're sitting in the basement. So it's very interesting because I am continually with everybody kind of going, hey, you're bringing up a study that was done with kids. You're not talking about a study that was done with adults, right? Kids can never make up their, the kids are never allowed to decide for themselves what they should do. And are we doing that to autistic adults and saying, oh, you need to go out and participate in your community? Okay, well, tell me what my community is. Well, you know, your community. And you need to participate. And one of the biggest problems we're having is when we talk about participation, because, you know, it's for a study. So you have to count things, because you have to be able to say this percentage, you know, this number, blah, 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 right? And so then the biggest thing right now is just like, well, then how do you quantify participation? Do you say I went out of my house for this long, this number of times, I met this number of people, I did this number of activities? You know, because people are like, and so then part of it too is like, so when we say that participation is good for your mental, good for your health, what the hell are they talking about? You know, when they did the study that said it's good for your, when it's good for your, if it's good for you to participate, what were they talking about, right? So anyway, it's just been very interesting because right before we got on to talk, I was looking at some of the data that I have to present to everybody because the whole group comes together and I want to say, okay, I'm the person in charge of all this. So let me show you what we learned. And it's incredible to see the similarities, but also to go through things and kind of go like, and there's a lot of, I'm not going to say prejudice or bias. I'm going to say, because I think it's all unconscious, but until you point it out to people, you know, they're like, no. And then when you say, see, this is interesting, because when I said, let's ask everybody the same questions. And my partner said, well, why would we ask people from the art museum questions about themselves? We're only interested in the autistic people. I was like, no, let's ask everybody the same question. And then it was very interesting to ask someone who's like, you know, we do this at the art museum for people. And if you say, so when you go out into the community, how do you like to participate? Oh, I like to go with my friends, da, 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 da. And then one of the big questions was, is there anything that prevents you, that keeps you from going out in the community? And a whole lot of people went, oh, no, I get to do what I want whenever I want. And you could see them all of a sudden going, oh, for me, I could just decide to go out when I want. But look at me at the art museum. I make one night a year dedicated to autistic people. So that's the 1 year. That's the 1 year, as far as I'm concerned, go out and do that. And they don't even want to do that. You could see them just kind of all of a sudden going like, wait a minute, I'm creating events I don't go to. I would not go to this event unless I had to because I'm working for it. But that's the event one time that I'm making for people so that they don't get to go whenever they want. They have to come to this event. And if they don't come to that event, we feel that there's something wrong, right? We feel that the autistic person is being, closeted or inside or afraid or whatever, right? And then you have to kind of go, but nobody likes this shit. Nobody. You see what I mean? And so it's been over a year since we talked. I feel like I've become such an advocate, right? You know, before I was just angry. Now I'm like, you know, like, what the fuck? And really feeling like, you know, when people go like, right, I was like, no, you're going to listen to me. You're going to listen to me because this can't continue. And it's been interesting to have everybody go, oh, okay, right. So anyway.
No, you are totally right, Robert. There is an autistic international association, and there is a quote that I love from them. There is nothing about us without us.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
And this is true. That last week was the Awareness International Week of Autism, and a lot of people invited me to talk and do live talks And there is an amazing example. There is a neuroscientist woman here in Brazil that studies autism and has a huge YouTube channel. And now she launched a treatment to autistic people. She defends the idea of change people from autistic to neurotypical from these treatments. And these treatments are basically social interaction treatments to kids. I think the name of it, it's ADA. I think this is the name of the treatment. And we are talking about a lot of autism. And the first thing I told her was, who asks to social interaction? You neurotypicals decided that we need social interactions and a fucking fun trippy with friends and playing soccer in huge teams of people. You decided that this is good for us. You decided that our society is a society with people interacting with other people. But you asked to an autistic if he or she wants to do part of it, to be part of it. You never asked. You decided that this is the way, this is the correct, but you never listen people. But now we are having voice. For the first time ever, autistic adult people are going outside and talking about themselves from their perspectives. And neurotypicals don't know what to do. They don't know what to say to their kids. They don't know what to say to anybody. And this woman asked me, what is the recipe? What is the secret? I told her, I am not a specialist in autism. I'm just autistic. I am autistic like I am gray hair, like I am a dog person, and I like to play volleyball than soccer, and I like blues. I don't talk about autism every day. I am not a nerd that only read and understand this. You know, people think yes. that we are autistic, that we know everything about this team. We read every paper, we know every single scientific paper there. It's not my job. You don't work with autism. You are doing a great job helping these guys researching about solutions. But I understand the most amazing things that we can do. It's what we are doing right now. It's talking about us, what we yes. like. I don't right. I don't like to go outside. I don't like the fucking community of people. Right now, I starting to do another university. I starting another graduation. And I am just doing this because I don't have to go to the classroom. I don't have mm-hmm. to talk with people on the corridors. I don't have to meet them to eat. I just go to the university again because I am doing this online. I can turn off my camera and listen to the professor because the fucking experience to go to a classroom that people are talking shit, that people are talking things that I don't like to talk. I don't want to interact with them. I don't want to do homework in group. I don't want to do these things. But I want to learn the fucking graduation school. It's only possible because right now, with the pandemic, I do this from my home. If
yeah, was, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's in some ways, like what people are saying, like, oh, now we understand what it's like to be autistic. It's like, no. But there is another thing you can understand, which is that now it's possible for us to live the lives more fully. Because I think you bring up a really good point, Raphael, which is, you know, before to get the things that we had, to get some things that we wanted, we had to go outside. So we need food. I have to go to the fucking store. Now I can get it delivered. I want knowledge. I have to go to fucking school. Now I can sit and take notes and I can do the things, you know, I don't have to look like I'm paying attention. You know, it's like I am paying attention. It doesn't look like I'm paying attention because I'm not doing what everybody else is doing. You know, all of these things I think are you know, really, really important. And exactly what you're saying too. Like, the whole thing, like this woman who's wants to cure us, right? Which is not curing us, it's making us look more, well, actually, there, you know, one of my friends on the team recommended a book to me written in the 60s, like 1964, but it's all about stigma, you know, the word stigma. Mm-hmm. So it's all about stigma and where it comes from. And it's really fascinating to read, because for one thing, it's written in 1964. So they use words like cripple. You know, they do not use inclusionary language, right? And you're like, oh my God, we've come so far in 55 years. Thank God, right? So it's a little hard to read that way. But it is fascinating because he talks about the reason that normal people stigmatize other people is because it makes them feel better about that person's disability or difference, right? And there is, and so there's a thing, especially for visible deformities, that's the word he uses, deformity, you can't normalize it, right? You only have one leg. So if every time I look at you, I'm reminded you only have one leg. So that bothers me, right? And there's nothing I can do to cure that. But you're autistic. And I don't know what that is, but I can't see it. So if I can get you to act in a normal way, then I will feel better about myself. And who cares about you? Because it's always about me, right? I'm sure the name of Helen Keller, the girl. Okay. Did you ever see the movie about Helen Keller? Is such a thing ever in Portuguese? Okay. So there was a very famous play made about her life, and then they turned it into a movie. And before her teacher made the connection, where all of a sudden Helen Keller went, whoa, there's language. All Helen Keller's parents wanted was for Helen to act normal. Because when she ate dinner, she would just walk around and she'd put food in her place and it was all, you know, in her mouth and it was messy. And so her teacher taught her how to sit in a chair and use a fork and use a napkin. And in the movie and in the play, her mother goes, she used a napkin. She used a napkin. Because that was like the most important thing. She looked normal. She didn't know what she was doing, but all that mattered was that she did that, right? And I always think of that with some of the stuff that you're talking about, the socialization of autistics and stuff, is that they want us to use the fucking napkin, right? And what they don't understand, and I've, you know, we've talked about this before, is how much work we're doing just to do all the other stuff and how hard it is. And in the study that we're doing right now, the data that I'm going, you know, here are things people actually said. Regular people say, oh, I can go out anytime I want to. And autistic people say, I have to really think if I have enough energy about where we're going and who I will see and who I will talk to and what I will have to do. And I have to decide whether the positives of that experience are worth all the other parts, right? And now our people haven't heard from each other yet, but I think when they hear that, there's gonna be another kind of like, oh, I never thought about that before. Because I know that some people go like, oh yeah, everybody does that. It's like, no. Everybody does not do what we're doing. Right, which is really going like, okay, get ready. What will I talk about? what, you know, I don't know if you do this, Raphael, but I realize that now when I'm in social situations, I'll be talking and then I'll be talking about something I'm passionate about. And then I stop and I go, am I talking too much? Is it okay? And they're like, no, you're fine. Keep going. And I'm like, okay, just want to make sure I'm not talking too much, because it's always in the back of my mind. It's like I have a timer, you know, like, or my watch or something, like, you can't talk more than a minute. After a minute, you must say, but what about you? Right? And nobody else does that.
I totally agree with you. I have a huge problem. What is the point for me is when people are in the spectrum, and when they know what it means, they have the power of the decision. It's not an autistic person, we will not go to a party in someone's house. It's not what we are talking, but these people have to have the power to choose to go outside in a party and get anxious about it, and they know how to deal with it, what these people can do when they became anxious, when they don't want to be there anymore. When you don't know you have this disability in social fucking situations, you suffer a lot. But when you discover, when you find that you have these mental connections that make it difficult to you, you just choose to not suffer, or you choose to go out there and be a little bit stressed, but you have the power to turn off this button and go and leave this place when you want. You don't need to suffer without understand yourself. There is a situation that always make me furious and always make me awkward when I go to someone's party. I always say that to be comfortable in a place with people, for me, I need to know and I need to be friends of more than 90% of the whole place. If there is just 80% of people that I know, I know that I will be uncomfortable in that place. And no matter what, every time I have to leave the place, I have a huge problem to say goodbye to everybody. Hi, goodbye. It was nice to be here. Hi, goodbye.
Oh, Raphael, are you leaving already? You just got here.
And, you know, this is always very uncomfortable to me because I always thinking about those people. What they will think about me. They will judge me. They will think I'm crazy. Blah, 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 blah. And now I decided to just go out and say nothing to anyone. If they think I'm crazy, fuck them all. I don't care. I am crazy. Everybody's crazy, you know? I don't care. I will not leave my comfort zone in that party to make these people feel comfortable. My comfort, it's more important than anyone's comfort. I need to be comfortable. No matter what do you think about me.
What I was just going to say is that's an interesting thing, right? Because we are logical and we go, so I should say goodbye to you and make you feel better, right? It's important for you to feel better than me. Why? Right? So why isn't it important for you to make me feel better? Right? How about if we all just take responsibility for ourselves? I'll make myself feel better and you can make yourself feel better. But why am I always responsible for your happiness? Nobody's responsible for my happiness, you know? And so ultimately it's like, right. And you and I and other people like us will be able to go like, look, I'm going to tell you how the whole party's going to go. We're going to arrive. I'm going to look around and I'm going to see that I don't really know everybody. And that will make me anxious. And then you'll say, oh, no, it's fine. Why don't you just grab a drink and, we'll start talking to somebody. And then you start talking to some one person. And then because it's a party, you go, oh, because they start doing that thing of, you can only talk to a person at a party for 10 minutes, maybe. And then you have to move on, right? You have to keep moving around. And then you're like, fuck, who do I go talk to now? And you don't know. So then you go over and you stand next to somebody who's talking to someone else. And they kind of go, oh, hi. And then after a while, like, fuck this shit. And then I'll want to go home. But we can't go home because you still want to talk to people. And I'll be like, great, I'm going to go in the kitchen and see if I can wash dishes or do something, because I'd rather wash dishes than talk to people I don't know. I don't know you, so I don't care. I really don't care what your opinions are. I'm probably never going to see you again, because we're having a 10-minute conversation. It's going to be about nothing. You're going to ask me what I do, and I guarantee what I do is more interesting than what you do. So we'll start talking about what I do, and I'll have to talk about it for the 1,000th time. And then you'll say, oh, and you have interesting tattoos, and we'll have to talk about that, right? Because I'm living my life the way I want, and you feel like you can comment on it. Okay, great. And I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan.
No, I totally agree with you. I had a huge problem last weekend. I just moved to the country. In this big house with a big pool, with a jacuzzi and all this shit, I moved here at less than 2 months ago, and so my mom and my family was very excited to be here, to visit me, to know the new house, to go to the pool, and go to do a barbecue, these family stuffs. The first thing was, I told my mom that I didn't want her and my sister and all my family members here for more than 3 days. 3 days for me, it's the limit. I don't support any people in my home, in my space, in my time, more than 3 days. My mom didn't listen it. She didn't care, and they come to my home. They are enjoying, and we didn't stop to talk. And sometimes in the middle of these days, I just saw a huge problem with this. We didn't stop to talk. We didn't have any conversations, and so my mom was worried about this thing, and I call her to have a small conversation. And I told her, this is not the first time I told this to my mom. Mom, I have a lot of pleasure seeing you, enjoying my new home. It's a different thing for being interested in talk to you. You just talk shit. You are talking about my sister's mother-in-law are buying a new TV. Fuck me. I don't care. I will not spend my time listening and discussing this shit. If you want to talk cosmology, if you want to talk astronomy, let me in. I will have a huge pleasure to talk about this with you. But when you are talking shit with my sister about my sister's mother-in-law, I don't care. I will not care about this kind of conversation. And this is totally what are you talking? When you go to a party, people want to start an easy talk conversation about the weather, about the tattoos. Oh, you have a lot of tattoos. I want to do one. Okay, go and do one. What is your tattoo artist? I don't know. This is not interesting to get my attention. And of course, I am the worst kind of people to talk when you are talking about shit that I don't want to talk. And this is, Robert, a very huge problem for me to get a date, to get a partner because I get bored very fast. I get bored so fast that I completely lost my interest in people. I am full of interest when I am meeting the woman for the first time. I'm very curious about what she does, how this mind can bring something new to my mind, something that I will start to thinking, something that I don't know. I need this knowledge. Every time I talk to somebody, I am chatting with somebody, I am pursuing this kind of knowledge and things that make me excited. If you don't have this, sorry, I will not give my time to your attention. And I don't care about what you think about me. It's your problem. Think that I am crazy. I am not spend my time with bullshit. And people do it a lot. 99% of their time, they're talking shit.
I like the fact that you finished and then like, and I'm done. You made me think of a whole bunch of stuff. I'm actually writing notes now. Do you know the American humorist Mark Twain? You've heard of him before, right?
Totally.
Mark Twain? Yeah. Do you know what he says about house guests?
No.
He says house guests like your mother and everybody. House guests are like fish. They shouldn't stay longer than 3 days because they start to smell.
Yeah, you are right. When you choose a place to move, like me, you don't move to a place so close to your parents that they can visit you every day, every week. But you don't choose a place so far away from them that they have
to stay to make it worthwhile, right?
Yeah.
Are you that far away now from your parents?
Yeah.
Is that why?
Yeah. When I was living in São Paulo, my mom just visited me once a year. And she just stayed in hotels because it's my way. And she's amazing because she understands. I think she understands. But after 10 years, this last month was the first time I received them in my own home. No hotels because the pandemic, and so they were...
Right, yeah.
And this is very difficult to me. This is my comfort zone. This is my space. I like...
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, so that you made me think of a couple of other things. I love talking to you, man.
Yeah, we should create a podcast. I am watching you with this huge equipment with microphones and earphones. How about we do this kind of conversation in a podcast? We can choose. This idea came to my mind right now, okay? We can choose a topic.
I love it. I'll speak in English and you can do Portuguese.
No, we will do like this. We can choose a topic and discuss about it.
I think that would be great. Okay. So wait, I gotta let me get through all my notes, man. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So I can talk about fish. All right. Okay. What you said, this thing that you just said about meeting people and getting bored, right? And new ideas and needing new ideas. All right. So other than you, my friend, are really the first other autistic adult I've ever met and had a conversation with. Knowing
me too.
Okay?
Me too. You are my first too.
Dude.
Yeah.
Put it right there.
Yeah.
Give it to me. There we go. All right. And it's funny because, and I'm glad you're my first. I was a virgin. I'm glad you're my first because as I've gotten to know other people with autism, I start to go, oh my God, I could have been like that, right? Because one of the things I know about you, I think like me, is we're both, as we say, where I come from in Massachusetts, wicked smart, very smart.
Awesome.
And we are very interested in different things. And I think we're also I mean, it's amazing, right? Because we both, right, look, we're having a conversation with each other. We like spending time with each other, right? But I think it's possibly because it's like, you're worth my time, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like, and I feel honored that I am worth your time, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But what got me was in doing these interviews that I've been doing, one of the things that seems to be common to people with autism is that they talk a lot, we talk a lot about needing the stimulation of new ideas. And that, like, I met this, you know, I met this one guy, I really feel bad for him. You know, part of me kind of goes, oh man, I wish I'd known earlier that I had autism. He's like 20, let's say he's 24, and he grew up knowing he had autism, and it has held him back. Because his parents were, oh, you know, you have autism, you can't do that. Or you have autism, we're going to have to find a special job for you. And what he really, really wants more than anything is to be an airline pilot. And he was talking, apparently, when he was a kid to a psychiatrist. He wasn't talking to someone from the aviation industry or the government. To a psychiatrist who went, oh, I don't know if autistic people can be pilots. And he heard that and it stuck. And so now he's like, I can't be a pilot. I actually felt so bad for him. I've looked it up and I've talked to people and we're going to help him get his fucking pilot's license because there's no law or anything that says you can't have a pilot's license if you're autistic. But he grew up believing that he was small, that he had less. But what really impressed me was even with that feeling, he's like, if I don't go out every day and come home having learned something new, that is my job. I want to be a better person every day, and I want to learn something new every day. And I know that I often feel that way because it's always like, whoa, there's something I never knew before. And I always want to share that excitement with someone else. My poor wife who kind of goes, okay, what else new did you learn today, right? And I don't know if I don't know if we talked about this before, but do you know there's a common trait in autistics that you go out and you master a new skill, you do something new, and then once you've mastered it, you lose all interest in it. It's gone. It's dead. Never again. Right. So our house is full of shit that was like, yeah, look what I can do. Right. Like I taught myself to knit. I knit a, very complicated sweater for my daughter, you know, one of those things that's all twisted, you know, a fisherman sweater. And once I did that, I was like, oh, now it's not challenging anymore. Now I'd just be doing the same thing over and over again. Who wants to do that? So what I find interesting is when you were talking about trying to, you know, meet up with somebody who would not bore you, I realized like, yeah, that's a thing. We need to find people who are always going to be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like the people who are my friends are always the people who, like, we can't finish sentences because the other person's going like, yeah, 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 right? Instead of somebody, oh, God, the worst thing, like you were talking about with your mother and your sister's mother-in-law, where it's just like, oh, my God, do you realize we're going to be dead? We're going to be dead someday. And I am fucked if I'm going to be dead and all I ever did with my time was talk about other people. Holy fuck. Are you kidding me? No, people I don't know and people I can't influence. People, it's just like, I don't want to hear about what other people did. No, I'm not interested. So I get you entirely, but I find it, you know, it's interesting because I'd only ever thought about this kind of stimulation of ideas. That's what I wrote down. Stimulation of ideas as being something that had to be there's the world of knowledge that's out there, or the world is out there, and we want to know more about it all the time. And then you and I are artists, so we were like, want to take stuff in about the world, and then we're going to put it out in a particular way, which is our reaction to the world and what we know. And therefore, the more we know about the world, or discover about the world, or in awe of the world, the more we have to react to. So if we're going to spend time with another human being, especially someone we want to have a relationship with, they better live up to what we need, right? But I'd never thought of our personal relationships as being that same quest for knowledge. Do you see what I mean? Right? It's like there's somebody who just happened. I started a second Instagram account just about my tattoos. Because you know what? I went, you know what? There's stuff I want to post that other people may not like. Maybe it's too personal. So I'm going to make a whole separate account. And through that, I met somebody and we keep talking about stuff. And I realized that every idea this guy talks about is like, it's the same thing, right? Like bang, 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 right? It's just like, yes, try to keep up. It's great. But if and that's, and so like, there's a complete stranger who now I feel like in 2 or 3 weeks of talking, it's like, you know, you're a friend. Absolutely. And that's what we want, is like, stimulate my mind. Because when my mind isn't being stimulated, it just, you know, I mean, just like, and I think what keeps happening is the neurotypicals think like, oh, well, your mind's not being stimulated because you're not out in the community. And it's like, the community does not stimulate me. Yeah. An encyclopedia stimulates me. A book about tying knots, like sailor's tie. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh wait, I could make my own string. There's a way to do that. Oh my God. How do I do that? Right. Look, see, your eyes are like, yeah, bring it. Right. I never knew I wanted to make string, but now I want to make string.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so that's, you know, that's where I am. And it's like, anytime somebody's talking, like at a party, I am always, the sound's going in my ear and I'm just going like, I could be making string right now. I've never made string before, but you're keeping me from making string. Fuck. Jesus fucking Christ. And you know, the cool thing is at the end of this conversation, I'll have nothing. But at the end of making string, I'll have some string and then I can tie some knots, right? You know what I mean? Right? So I always look at it that way.
Totally, totally. I have just a few number of friends. And one thing that all my friends have in common, it's that the feeling I have with them, that every time I meet them, I learn something new. They make me to think about something that I didn't understand before. They bring me a point of view that I didn't have. It's always very inspirational. I always think about, I learn something. If a kind of person doesn't have these characteristics, I don't put this person in my friend's box. To be my friend, we need to have this kind of change. I want to know that every time you meet with me, I will bring to you something new, something special about something that I think or something that I know or learn that will make you a better person or learn something that you don't know. And we need to have this change. I need to learn something from you. I need to think about things that you make me think. We need to have this kind of trade, you know?
The trade part, I think, is really important. I think, right, I need to know not only that you're going to add something to my life, but I really need to know that you will appreciate and get something from me, right? Because otherwise, I feel like, okay, I know all this shit. I know all this fucking shit. Is it gonna die with me? I mean, that's why, you know, like my, so. So I'll give you an example. It's a story. It might take a while, but listen to the story, right? So my son, who's 25, has a wonderful girlfriend. She's wonderful. And my daughter is married to a great guy. And he runs a photo business. So my daughter and her husband, he's 30, she's 29. They lived, when she was going to medical school, they lived in New Orleans and he was bored. So he decided to start a business and he started doing wedding photography. Okay. Cause a lot of people go to New Orleans, they fly in just for their weddings and it became very successful, but it was always doing it on the side. Then, you know, she finished medical school, blah, blah, blah. They've moved to another city up in Connecticut, which is in the Northeast. So there's a, you know, a huge distance. He's still running his very successful company in New Orleans because he set it up so that other people would be doing all the work. Okay. And he was doing other stuff. So like I said, it was a side job. He wasn't paying attention to it. My son's girlfriend is very interested in weddings. She's really funny. She's a feminist and she's really independent. She, you know, she studied feminist theory in school, but she loves weddings. And he was looking for someone to help with their social media. And he hired her. And now his business is taking off because she's doing such a great job, which makes me as a parent so happy. It's like, look, you know, the family's doing well. But the point of the story is when she was starting, she was looking through all the photographs that they had taken and she was trying to pick out different ones. And she said, oh, this one would be good, except something needs to be changed in it. And I said, they were here at the house. And I said, oh, well, you know how to use Photoshop. And she said, no. And I said, oh, come here. Right. And so like an hour and a half later, you know, I showed her how to do some things and stuff like that. And then later on, my wife said to me, you know, when you took Jamie to go do the work, Harry looked at me and said, well, she's in for it now. And I said, what does that mean? She goes, well, you know, everybody knows that you're going to teach somebody something. And I went, was that a bad thing? And they all went, no. But my son said, yeah, you know, I know. When Papa says, oh, here, let me show you something, an hour and a half later, you will have learned something. You weren't planning on it. You didn't know you were going to learn it, but you have no choice. He's going to teach you. And I was like, oh, and I got sad about that. And he said, no, it's great. It's really great. But it was very funny to see for him. He said, it was very funny to see my girlfriend get sucked in to, you know, like, oh, you're going to learn something now, you know? And she was like, oh, it's valuable. And he goes, believe me, it's always valuable. It just is what happens. So I realize it's because I see somebody who has ignorance, right? So there's a big difference between ignorance and stupid, right? You can't cure stupidity, but there is always a cure for ignorance. And right. I always feel like, you know, if I can help you with that by teaching you something, and I don't even think of it like, oh, let me teach you something. It's just like, hey, let me show you something I learned, you know? But does this ever happen to you? Because I'm seeing lots of nods. Does this ever happen to you? Sometimes you tell people about things and how to do things, and you've never done them before. You just know how to do them. And then you're like, oh, yeah, do it like this. And they're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that could happen. And you're kind of going like, well, I knew that would happen. I just never tried it out before.
Yeah, I completely understand you 100%. It's always common to me, and I have no doubt that it always happens to you. Sometimes you avoid to give your opinion. Sometimes you don't talk with people because it's very common to you to already know that things they are talking, and maybe you already know the answers and you already know what they need to do to get that thing that they want to reach. But if you say it, if you talk to them what you know, they will think you are I don't know the word in English. You are arrogant. You know,
arrogant. It's exactly the same word. Arrogant.
Yeah.
I have been called arrogant my entire life. And because also, does this happen to you? You go, wait, shh, 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 shh. Stop. I know the answer, right? And they're like, no, you don't. I haven't even finished speaking. It's just like, it's so clear to me. Come here, baby.
Come here. I want you to meet my dog.
Come here and meet Raphael. So, can you hear her?
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to, can you hear her making her noise?
Yeah. How old?
She's 11. Wow. She's 11 now. But she's very active, and she's very, there's a great word, feisty. Have you ever heard the word feisty?
No.
So for a little dogs are going, you know.
Oh, got it.
She's not mean, but she's not quiet. She likes to, we have another dog now, a big dog, and she goes after him, right? But but she's been sitting under my chair, and She likes to sit in my lap.
So cute. Yeah. And I love this noise.
Yes, well, it's constant, you know. And part of the thing is I have the door open to this booth right now because when I do voiceover, I have to keep it closed. And she gets upset because I can't let her in here because I'll be doing voiceover. And he'll be, you know, make sure to tune in when...
It's like my sound in the beginning of this audio. There is a guy cutting the grass on the neighbors. It's the same. And you know, if I am sleeping with somebody doing this kind of noise, I can kill this person. But if he is my dog doing this kind of noise, I am like in a symphony. I love this noise.
Yeah, I don't know if Jimmy does it, but I mean, she makes constant noise, so it always feels like she has something to say, you know? Like right now, she's sniffing my keyboard. I don't know why, but can you hear her at all?
Yeah,
can you hear?
Yeah.
She's making little noises, you know? And it's funny because our new dog is deaf.
Oh, really?
And so he barks and he makes noises, but he doesn't respond. So, you know, she does a thing of, I think Jimmy does it too, right? He'll turn his head when he's listening to you.
Yeah.
Well, he just, our new dog, whose name is Eddie and Jimmy, Eddie just does this. And he doesn't, and nothing changes, right? Because he doesn't know you're talking. But if you use hand signals with him, he's like, oh, okay. So that's bad.
It's awesome.
There are three. Now you've got me thinking of other ideas I want to talk to you. See, our podcast has got to be so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Put
that note, please. We need to find a name to our podcast.
Something. Can we use some version of A-Team? This is becoming my term for who we are. Who are we? We're the A-Team.
Awesome.
Right? So, because I want everybody, you know, it's like, I like using neurotypical because it reminds them who they are.
Yeah.
I like thinking about, you know, there used to be a TV show here in the States called The A-Team. And that was where, do you remember Mr. T? You know, the guy who had a mohawk?
Yeah.
I pity the fool. So they were called The A-Team. And of course, The A-Team is the first team that plays, you know, in the sports and all that kind of stuff. So I've just gone to be like, you know, when I talk to people, I go like, hey, yeah, you're on the A-Team. We're all on the A-Team.
Awesome.
And then hope to make other people feel jealous. You're not on the A-Team. I'm sorry. You're not on the A-Team. You wouldn't understand.
I like it.
Sorry. We play first because we already know the answers. Stop talking. See, this is what's great about like the study that I'm part of, because, you know, here are all these professors and they're talking about blah, blah, blah. And I'll just go, wait. So, blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh, it's like, and then they're like, they're actually happy because like, we just saved so much time. It's like, yes, you need to hire people from the A-Team because they'll solve your life. And then they'll go away because they don't want to talk to you. I mean, it's the best of all possible world. Come in, start telling me what your problem is. Okay, now shut up. Stop. Too much detail. Okay, here's what I'm hearing. Here's how you solve it. Okay? Pay me. Goodbye. There we are.
Bye.
But, you know, talking about a podcast. So I know you're Mr. Instagram, right? I mean, we all know this. You've broken Instagram many times. But are you on Reddit at all?
Yeah, but I think with a guest username, I don't create.
You're hiding.
I'm hiding.
You're lurking.
Just reading, like I am on Twitter. I'm just reading and follow some topics, but I am not publishing anything.
No, but my point is, I don't know who you follow. So I do, you know, I look at it. I started 8 days ago, and I already have 1,200 karma.
Really? Already? So
already. I posted a couple of beard pictures, and apparently they went wild. But anyway.
But you are a benchmark of beard and tattoos.
There we go. Well, the tattoo, it's interesting. The tattoo community, not as interested. Because
really?
apparently on the one tattoo site, they just want close-ups of the actual ink of the picture. They're not really, I posted a picture of me that was like, mostly just my top, just kind of go like, hey, here are my tattoos. I'm almost done with the whole bodysuit. You know, and people are like, we really don't want to see the, oh, and now you get to meet, this is Eddie. Let me see it. This is Eddie.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Eddie. See? So beautiful. He just comes up every once in a while to visit.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Hi. Okay. Yep. I'm here. Yeah. Because he can't hear where I am, he will go through the house. Oh, shoot. Not my old. Can you still see me? Yes. He'll go through the house looking for us.
Yeah.
So he just has to come up and visit. And it's like, oh, you're still here? Okay. because if we leave the house, he doesn't know. And then when we come back in, he's like, oh, you came back. I didn't know where you were. So right now, he's just doing his rounds to make sure that we're back.
Perfect.
Anyway, what I was going to say about Reddit was, have you looked at any of the autism groups on Reddit?
No. Is it good?
There's a lot of, I don't know if I have autism and I'm really worried, or lots of problems, right?
Okay.
And so it's mostly young people who are scared or are like the guy I was telling you about, I think, who were diagnosed fairly early on. So they're very aware of all their problems and they've been taught, maybe that's a good thing, I don't know. But they've been taught that, they should be worried, you know, that they have problems and that the world's going to be hard, which is why, on one hand, I really feel like your idea of a podcast is, and based on also the woman from New Zealand,
Marie.
Yeah. When she wrote back after the one thing, it was just like, whoa, wait, we were just talking and you think this is like really important. So I think you're really onto something.
Yeah.
But what the reason I was bringing it up is that there are a number of different autism sites. Some of them are subreddits. Some of them are, oh, I'm a parent and my child has autism, and oh, you know, and they're the people who want to meet that woman who's going to cure them, right? That's what they're looking for. And then this other one that it seems to have a lot of people on it, it's called Autism Translated. And it seems to be kind of like, I'm having these feelings. Is that appropriate? Et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm kind of getting a feeling for that of like, oh. And it's also interesting because of the people I'm working with, the occupational therapists who help autistic people learn the activities, so-called activities of daily life, right? How to take a shower, how to use a toilet, et cetera, et cetera. But when I've talked to them, it turns out that basically, Once you've learned all those things, how to take care of yourself, you're on your own. You are fucking on your own.
Yeah.
And so what I feel like is there are a lot of people, you know, I think you and I could feel like, we've had disadvantages, but I think we both feel very good about ourselves.
Totally.
Appropriately, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like there need to be role models for this coming generation of autistic people who've been taught that they are broken.
Totally
right?
Agree. Yeah.
And the thing is, I feel like you and I could go like, look, you could look at that as being broken. Or you could look at that, or it's your superpower. You know, that's the way I look at it. It's just like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. It's like in the right context, what we do and can do is great, and it's only a problem when we keep going like, oh, I need to look and act like everybody else.
Yeah.
So I think just like, I mean, I don't know what's going on in Brazil right now, but, you know, part of the Black Lives Matter movement here in this country is people becoming more and more aware of, you know, if you can't see yourself reflected in other parts of society, it's like you don't exist. And one of the things that I feel does not exist right now are accurate depictions of autistic people, autistic adults, because whenever they are depicted, they're depicted as, you know, either, you know, saints, oh, they have magic powers, right? Or they can't cope, right? And I think it would be useful for them, only because, what's the name of the woman, the psychologist?
Marie.
Yeah. Because she was so positive about that. Yeah. It's like, oh, maybe we should do that. And the reason I bring up the Reddit thing is part of my marketing hat is going like, here's something that's being offered. There's an advertisement. Here's a place to kind of promote it, right? And say, also, what kinds of things would be useful for you guys to hear us talk about? What would be useful to talk about, right?
Perfect.
So that we, I mean, obviously, I think we enjoy talking to each other.
Yeah.
See, that's my autistic coping mechanism, right? It's like, I can tell, but I have to make sure that the other person is included in my thoughts. So it's like, you know, do you ever do that? Do you do a lot of like, I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, Raphael, when I say I'm enjoying myself, right?
Yeah.
How tiring that is. But I think you're, I think it's a good idea. And the reason I bring up Reddit and when you're next time you're on Reddit, look at the autism things.
I will do.
And just kind of go like, huh. Because for one thing, I think we're both going to be on the same page of like, wow, we really could perhaps offer a lot of help and insight. And I think at the same time, you said early on, you know, I'm not a fucking doctor. I don't understand how this shit works. I'm only talking for myself.
Yeah.
And in our podcast, if it helps for you to hear that two people who grew up entirely apart from each other with no knowledge of each other feel the same way about certain things, that might actually be a good clue to you that if you feel the same way, right? Maybe this is something that we all have in common. Let's expand that conversation.
And look look how antisocial we are. We are unable to have a conversation. We don't know.
No, we should do. We'll just have a podcast and it's silence.
Yeah, this is an autistic podcast, and you.
Or we'll do the, or you know, well, actually, maybe what we should do is we should have like little joke segments in the middle of it. Like,
yeah.
And here's the podcast everyone thinks we're gonna have. Raphael. Did you know that honeybees weigh 3.25 grams? Did you know that? And that all honeybee workers are girls. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then the only other thing we'll hear is stimming, you know.
Doing crazy things.
Yeah. That's why it'll be a podcast, not video, because or maybe it should be video. Yeah. We're both good looking guys.
Yeah, we can do this kind what we are doing right now. I can change my background to a beautiful background, and we can record our scream, and we will put it on YouTube, Spotify, Deezer, Apple, and let's spread out.
Yes. Because I don't know about you, but what I'm owning, I would not be unhappy traveling around the world talking to people. That for me would be a great career, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because I know, I think you like to travel.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. A lot.
It would be pretty cool. And then we'll write a book.
Yeah.
And then they'll make a movie about our lives.
Yeah. It will be awesome, right?
Right. But you know what'll happen is they'll say, yeah, we want to make a movie about your life. Now, just a quick question. Do Robert and Raphael, do they have to be autistic? Could they be, maybe they're just kind of, you know, maybe, and maybe they could be 20, you know? And like, you know, and maybe the Robert character could be a girl.
Yeah.
Because then the Raphael character, and we're going to call him Tony, then he could have a girlfriend.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Let's do it. I'm very excited. I was, for the last 2 years, I was thinking about in a podcast, But this is the difficult part to me, Robert. How I will get engaged in a conversation for 1 hour or more with somebody. What is the topic? What can I say? What kind of people that I will talk, that I will get stuck in my full attention? And this is the difficult. I tried a lot, talked with my friends, but I can go forward. But it's easy. We are talking right now for more than 1 hour, and we can spend here. I love to talk with you. It's always inspiring, as I told you.
Wait, dude! You can't say always. We've only had two conversations.
but this is the reason I say always. 100% of our conversations are totally amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. They have, and you know what's really cool is I think I can say this much. So there, I know some people who are autistic but will not disclose.
Okay,
that's the term I think that we use. We say disclose, right? Okay. It's like coming out. We say disclose because they feel that it would harm their professional reputations, right? But what's interesting is that when we have conversations, it's just like this, right? It's just like bang, 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 bang. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and I feel like it's like, oh, finally someone gets me, you know? Now, what's interesting about this is that my wife is not autistic, but she gets me. And we have great I have to say, compared to a lot of the married couples that we know, where we're both like, what the fuck do they talk about? Right? And I think what they talk about is they talk about Raphael's sister's mother-in-law. Yeah. That's what they do. But Sue and I, you know, we talk about stuff all the time. And I think part of what we like about talking to each other is new ideas about stuff that's going on in the world, or, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And we never talk about people generally.
Yeah.
But it's always about ideas or this, or here's something I thought of. And then interestingly, we both like to spend time alone. Right? So we're not like a couple that's like, oh, look, we have to be in the same room all the time.
Alone, when you say alone, it's alone separated or alone together?
Alone separated.
Okay. You are in a room alone and she is in another room.
Yep. Perfect. Yep, yep, yep. Perfect. So I might be in my wood shop making something and Sue might be outside working in the garden because that's what she loves. And then, you know, she might walk by the door of the shop and just kind of, you know, like, hey, hi, I was listening to this thing on the radio. It was really cool. Bye. And then go away, right? You know, it'll be like that. Or it'll be like, hey, do you want some lunch? I'm going to go have some lunch. Like, and then we, you know, we sit and we have lunch. And we'll either talk about stuff because usually on our, because now it's just us without the kids. So the table has extra room. So we have all the newspapers on the table. So while we're eating, we're either talking or maybe we're looking at the paper and we go, hey, did you see this? Oh, I didn't know about that, blah, 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 right? So so it's really, you know, kind of cool. And, you know, going back to stuff you've said, when you have those conversations with people where it's like, after a while, you realize, wait, I'm talking and you're listening and you're enjoying what I'm saying, but I'm doing a lot of fucking work here, you know? I need you to charge my batteries. Are you doing that? No. So that's, you know, it's interesting because I joined that subreddit, the autism subreddit, because I thought like, here might be a way of meeting other autistic adults like you, but not you like because you're autistic, but like you who are like great to talk to and like, yeah, you know, like people, yeah, I'm looking. This is what I keep saying to my colleagues, is like, you guys don't understand. Until I talked to Raphael Montesso, I'd never actually had a conversation with somebody, okay? All right? And so every time we're talking about this shit, if we're not making room in what we're talking about for people like the two of us to meet other people like us, then fuck you! Right? Right?
Right.
And they're just kind of like, okay, calm down. And I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah, Totally agree.
I mean, it's like great. People are afraid to go outside. Okay, fine. I get it. But there are those of us at the end of whatever spectrum we're on where it's like, Jesus Christ, we're being stigmatized because we are different, but we're not getting any of the support that some other people are getting. Like, here's an interesting thing. So occupational therapy, familiar with it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because Marie's an occupation. No, she's a psychologist.
She's a neuropsychologist.
Neuropsychologist, okay. So I did not know, so occupational therapy, I thought it was like people who helped you get back to work after you had an injury. But it's not that. It's the people who help you get back to life.
Yeah.
When you have trouble. And one of the things I did not know that they did for autistic people was help with so-called executive functions. Do you know this term?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you going? What are you in graduate school for, Raphael?
I did advertising.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, I didn't want to get off on a tangent. I just want to make this point, right?
Which was, and like, I am very ashamed of it. I am not proud of.
That's another conversation we can have, because, okay, you know, I spent 3 years in an advertising agency just a couple of years ago. I got paid more money than I've ever made in my life, and yeah, I was not happy, and I am ashamed of it. On the other hand, it's really useful in some ways. But anyway, what I was going to say about occupational therapists and autistic people is I didn't know they help you with things like executive function. I have a really hard time with time.
Okay.
Really, if you saw me, I am surrounded by clocks. My computer every hour says it is 5 o'clock. It is 6 o'clock. I am really, really bad with time because it just disappears, right? And I think it's a common trait in a lot of us with autism.
Yeah.
And part of it is I don't really think about the past, and I have no idea about the future. As far as I'm concerned, there's only the present. There is only right now. So it never occurs to me that time is passing and I'm coming up to the future, right? And I've said to my wife, who's very good with time, I said, so what is it? You like see time going out in front of you and it's like a line and you can see things in the future? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, fuck no. She's like, yeah, there's time out in the future and you look at it and you can see where things are. And I'm like, no, the future all of a sudden just goes bang. You're, yeah, here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Do you
and
know?
And I'm like,
no, sorry. No,
I'm talking too much.
No, you never talk too much. I was thinking about this, exactly this theme, last month when I was talking to a friend, disclaiming about, discussing about time, present, future. And I was talking about getting my attention in time. And there is a thought that I love. There is, imagine your life, you will reach, you are a healthy guy, you will reach 150 years.
Okay.
So you just have more 70 years from now, you know?
Yep, okay.
If you slice these 70 years, right now we are talking about for 1 hour, it's exactly a slice of your life that you are giving to me that you never get back. If this, yes, slice was a shit, it's like a plane that fly empty. If you, yes, don't put a lot of people in a plane, you will lost money, because this plane needs to fly full or empty. So you need to make people enter the fucking plane or you get lost, because you cannot put two times people in the other plane to
make up for it. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you are giving to me exactly a slice of your life. It's nothing more than it. You are giving to me a piece of your time of existence. So when you understand that every time you are giving your attention to somebody or to something, you are giving your time, it's your life. So you need to choose carefully what kind of people, what kind of topics that will make you feel proud when you are in the end of your life. Imagine your last hours thinking about...
Yes, which I do a lot.
Yeah.
I do a lot. I'm like, you know, I'm just a chemical reaction. And when it's over, it's over.
Yeah.
And I never want to, I do not want to even get close to it. You know, everybody says on your deathbed. It's like, no, let's take, you know, when you get to that age where you're like, could be any day now, right? Could be next year, right? I do not, you know, so I don't know about you. I think at this point I have far more tattoos than you, because actually I just have my stomach left to do, and we start that tomorrow, and then I'm covered. Right.
Wow.
And there are people who talk about that. And I know we've talked about it a little bit before, but part of it is just like, you know, when I'm 90 years old, it's going to be too late to go, maybe it's time for a tattoo. Right. for all kinds of reasons. But then the other thing is I'm discovering, it's just like, wow, to live your life as a person with tattoos is a different life. You know this, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm never going to say, oh, I wish I'd done it earlier. But I will say I'm really enjoying it now, you know,
yeah.
Really enjoying. And one of the things, I forget, you're 40 now, right? No, you're not even 40 yet.
38.
Yeah. It's the gray hair, man. It throws me off. but the thing is, it's like right now, you know, like, you know, I go to the gym. Actually, now I'm going to the gym 4 days a week. I was going 3 days a week, and now it's four. And so now, you know, there are people like, how old are you? And I'm like 60, almost 61. And they're like, fuck no. And I'm like, actually, fuck yeah. You know, because this, and they're like, and you don't look like it. And I'm like, you know, I do look like it.
Yeah.
What you have to do is you have to start adjusting what you think 60 looks like, because 60 looks like this shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you're 60, you should be looking like this shit too. Sorry, but let's change your expectations.
Yeah.
Right. And so among other things, like you're saying about the slice of life and everything else, we keep saying when you're on your deathbed. And I'm actually thinking like, no. Because like, okay, I'm 60. Realistically, I've got like maybe 25. I know I've got 20 good years. Maybe it could be 25. 30 is going to be like, 90, you know, because it's also like, chances are, will my wife and I both be alive at the same time if I'm 90? We're exactly the same age, right? So it's like, you know, and people keep saying, oh, don't be so morbid. It's like, I'm not being morbid. I'm being realistic,
yeah.
Right? You, dear friend, aren't even at the middle of your life yet, right? Because you have every expectation of living to say 80 to 85. Let's say 82. That's kind of what people are talking about now, right? So you're not even halfway done yet. On the other hand, I am, right? And that's a very different perspective. And I want to be healthy about it, because it's just like, well, Jesus, fuck, of course I'm going to go try something I've never done before. Because what am I waiting for? Now, you should wait for certain things, because it's like, you know, you've got a lot of other stuff to do. But I'm like, you know, if I'm going to tattoo my whole fucking body, you know why? Why not? What am I waiting for? It was an idea. And somebody's like, well, just because it's an idea. It's just like, and I had it and I want it. So I'm going to do it. And well, you might regret it. Well, I might regret it, but not for very long. Right?
Awesome.
we're gonna have to talk more about the podcast. Two other things.
Okay.
Okay. did you think this conversation was going to go this way? Are you getting enough time to talk, or am I talking too much?
No. I just have another call from the agents at 6 in 30
oh, sure.
minutes. In 30, but
no, yeah.
but
no, no. I mean, but I mean, am I? Are there things you're like? No, shut up, Robert. I've got
no,
shut
no,
up.
No, 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 never. You
okay.
are you
so,
are
so 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 here. So here are two things. One, I was, okay. So I was talking about my wife Sue, And you know, when I we talked about this a little bit before, I think, but like, you know, when I got the diagnosis, I lost my diagnosis papers.
Wow.
And because of all the stuff I'm doing now, because I'm actually now part of a couple of different studies, it's like, oh God, what if somebody goes, are you really autistic? How do we know this? It's like, I wanted to get them. So it took me a long time to track down, because the clinic that I went to merged and shit. Okay, right. But I finally got them, and it's 9 pages long, and I'm reading through it, and I'm kind of going like, oh wow. See, when I first got it, I was like, flip all the pages. Oh, I'm autistic. Right. Now I'm actually reading this, and it's describing me when I was 51, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, you know, somebody who's kind of sad and somebody's this, and it's like, oh my God. Yeah, I recognized the person. I didn't really like them, right? But unlike other things, it's like, but you know what? I'm not that person anymore. Great. But when I got that diagnosis, you know, so it was like, oh, okay, autistic, what does it mean? And then like a week or two later, it was like, okay, why are you still acting that way? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you know, now we know you're autistic, so now you can get over it. And and so that was a kind of like, I don't think it works that way, right? So one of the things that has been happening, because I've been working with these different research groups, is I've become more of an advocate, a self-advocate, among other things. And so now things that I would normally kind of go like, okay, I'll put up with that. I will mask and I'll camouflage and I'll just, you know, and now kind of like you with your mother, right? I don't want to do this anymore. And so I've been like, no, I'm not going to stand for that anymore. And not like, but just kind of like, excuse me, but no. Yeah. And we got into a big, and you know, we've been married for 37 years. We don't really have big fights anymore.
Yeah.
But we got into one of those big fights where actually I left the house, I got into the car, and I drove somewhere. You know, just like, I can't take it anymore. And then, you know, while I was out in the car, I was like, I don't know how to start up this conversation again. I don't know how to get out of the car when I get home and have this conversation, because something's really bothering me. And I feel like my life partner, my greatest friend in the world, just said, I hear what you're saying and I don't care. And then it was great, because when I got home, she was like, you know, I've really been thinking, and I realized that I keep thinking that this is something that you can get out of or grow out of or change or choose. And she said, and I'm realizing that that's just not fair to you. And it was it was really a beautiful moment, because I didn't realize until then how important it was to hear those words. I didn't know that I was looking for them. And then she said, I'm going to look for a support group for people who are married or in relationships with autistic people. And I was like, I was like, you know, just overcome. So what I wanted to tell you, because it's interesting, is it took a long time to find a group, because all the support groups around are for guests. Yes, parents of autistic children. Yes. So there are so many of those. And then there's a much, much smaller group, but that's all for adult autistics, but generally in their 20s, right? Like you're transitioning out of the support thing and you're living on your own, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually she and I both found, more or less at the same time, a place that does have a support group for partners of autistic people. And it's mostly women who are partners of autistic men. And a lot of the men have been diagnosed late in life, right? Like me, like you. And a lot of it happens online. And so this one woman wrote to her online and said, I see your phone number. Do you mind if I call you? And had this, ended up having a phone call for a long time. And Sue, right afterwards, Sue came to me and just said, I have to tell you this. I am so lucky to be married to you. I was like, why? And she's like, oh my God, when I hear about these other relationships of guys who are autistic, who, you know, like the wife was the one who was like, I think you need to check out, you have a problem. And then they get diagnosed. They're like, nope, nope, I don't have it. Nope, 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 nope. They don't want to make any changes. They don't want to do this. They don't do that. And Sue would say, no, 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 no. Robert was the one who thought there was something wrong. He went to, he sought out the diagnosis. He thought there was something wrong with his life. He wanted to change something in his life. He wanted to make it better, blah, 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 blah. And these women are like, what? No. And all they want to do is complain about their husbands. And Sue was like, I don't really want to complain about my husband because I'm not really here to complain about my husband. What I wanted to is kind of go like, so do you guys have these experiences? How do you feel about that? And how do you overcome them? And da da da. And they're like, no, 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 no. Right. So she, I don't know if she's going to continue with it. She said she wasn't sure, but it was just really sweet because she said, I now come to understand what autism could be in other people. And that no matter what's going on, and we can call it autism or whatever else, you're still the same person, right? Right. And it was like, yeah, I mean, it seems so simple, right? But I just wanted to share it with you because I thought that you would understand in that sense too of like to be finally, you know, we've known each other for almost 40 years, longer than you've been alive.
Do you think when you get your diagnosis, your relationship with Sue changed? Your behavior, the way you deal with things that you don't agree or maybe
yes. Right off the bat, I'll tell you one thing that happened right off the bat was so I told you I have trouble with time. So one of the things that I always try to do is like, okay, if we agree we're going to go someplace and we have to leave at 6:15, I'm there at 6:13. I've got my jacket on and I'm jingling the car keys, right? And my lovely wife of 37 years, well, does not have her shoes on and doesn't have her socks on. And at that moment, she might kind of be like, oh, I'm going to start washing the dishes in the sink because they bother me. Or something, right? Or wipe the counter or whatever like that. And I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm all but sitting in the car beeping the horn, right? And that's happened a couple of times. It's not a lie. I think she might get a little angry, you know, kind of like, I do not do that. Well, okay, I do that. But anyway, so this one particular time I was ready to go and Sue was very kind of like, blah, blah, and I was started getting angry and I was like, blah, blah. And she said, why are you getting so angry? And I was like, I don't know. And she went, oh, I know why. We agreed that we would leave at 10:30. And the plans changed. And you weren't aware that the plans changed. And so what you're reacting to is the change in plans. It's not about me. You're not angry at me. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And she's like, you're angry because the plans changed. I was like, yes, that's it. And it was astonishing to finally be able to go like, think of all those other times in our lives that stuff like that has happened. And I seem to be irrationally, you know, off the walls. And Sue would always be like, well, clearly, you know, you're yelling at me. So you're angry at me. Why are you angry at me? And I would be like, you know what this is like. We said 7:15. Well, it's 7:15, you know, it was kind of an idea, you know, it's 7:30. What does it matter? I finished doing what I was doing, so I'd be ready at 7:15 and you're not finishing what you're doing. Ah. So that was like an immediate change. Right. And then I think we both kind of fell into this feeling of like, oh, and that's it. Now we've adjusted to autism. There you go. You know, when things don't go to plan, or other things, you know, Robert has trouble. He has to wear cotton. He doesn't like polyester tags. He doesn't like to be outside. Now we're done. But what I hadn't thought about was camouflaging and masking and how much I was doing in life and how much I was doing at home. And when I stopped wanting to do that, I would just go, not going to do that anymore. Like we'd have an argument or something would happen. I'd go like, oh, okay. And I'd go like, actually, right? Something would come up. And so it'd be like, why are you being argumentative? And I'm like, I'm not being argumentative. I'm just saying, here's my point of view. And even a little, this is where the whole thing about the support group came up, because Sue said, when she said, I think I need to find a support group, she said, what I've realized is I'm waiting for the man I married. Where is he? You know, I married, you know, you were this guy and now you're not that guy anymore. And I don't know what to do. I mean, like the guy she, you know, the guy she married had no tattoos, did not have piercings or a beard. I mean, it's like, I'm a very, you know, on one hand you could look at me and go, he's a very different person. But one of the other things that's different is that I'm not going along with it anymore, you know? And I feel like you know exactly what I'm talking about, because I feel like that's what you were talking about with your visit from your mother, right? Which is like, yeah. I used to do that, but I'm not doing that anymore. And your mother's like, well, honey, Rafi, you used to do that. You used to be fine. You love your sister. It's like, I'm in my own house and I just moved to this house and it has, you know, it's all new. I burned sage leaves and everything else. And now it's getting your energy in it. And I don't want your energy in it because it's in my house. And I am telling you that. But you used to always go along with what we said for you. Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. So that sound familiar, right? So this kind of second wave has been, you know, because the other thing too is that Sue works for the college here in town, Swarthmore College, which is a very big, famous college here in the States. And she is the Americans with Disabilities Act coordinator, right? So she is in charge of making sure that the college is doing everything it can for people with disabilities of all kinds, including autism. And one of the things that she said is, I realize, like a lot of people who, you know, become disabled or have a disability, there's a stage where they accept it. Well, first they fight it, then they accept it, then they become advocates, right? And she said, I can see that you're becoming an advocate. And it said, and I think she was like, and it scares me a little bit because I know what that's like, right? Because the advocate is like, not gonna do that. No, I will wait until you make the adjustment, but I'm not gonna accept anything less than what I deserve. And I'm not saying that's what our relationship is at all, but I think that this is kind of all kind of coming into it because I'm finding myself like, because of like the, you know, my colleagues who are like, we appreciate and we need your input as the autistic person. Yes. You know? And it's like, oh, that's why it's the A team. Right. Because now it's like, right, these are my powers. Why am I hiding them? So it's interesting. A small thing, but maybe this will be of interest to you. I was talking to someone a while ago about tattoos. I don't want to make it sound like I'm always talking about tattoos, but it just comes up. But someone was saying something to me about the pain. And, we were talking about pain. We were talking about like, massage or stimulation or something like that. And she said, maybe that's why you like tattoos so much, because it's finally enough stimulation. Because I don't know about you when you've gotten them, but I feel very relaxed. I feel very kind of like, you know, like, I almost fall asleep, right? And everybody's like, how can that be? And so I was like, I don't know. And she said, maybe that's what's going on. This person, I can't remember who it was, but she was like this insight of like, so for you, the tattoo experience, because I don't really care about the design of my skin. It's just like, oh, look, I got this. Okay, it's a souvenir. I like the experience of being tattooed. There's a lot about it that is just, to me, really important. And another friend said, what are you going to do when you run out of room? I'm like, I don't know. Just go with just blank needle, you know, water. Just use water. I don't know. But I just thought that was very interesting because now it's just like, easier to understand and accept things of like, why is Robert so weird? He goes for all these tattoos and da da da. It's like, oh no. It's actually much more of like, I'm just becoming, realizing more of who I am and not what I think society wants me to be. So when I'm removing those masks and the camouflage and everything else, this is the guy who's left. That was a lot.
Totally agree.
I talked a lot.
Yeah, no. You are doing great. I love to hear it.
Are you still Are you still working on the documentary
idea? Yeah, yeah. we are pitching the streaming, trying to find directors, this kind of shit when you are doing a television show. It was more difficult in this case because I want a director or in a spectrum or that mm-hmm. knows what is in the spectrum, is. Because I don't know an anti person doing what she or he thinks that autism is.
Right.
And the idea of documentary is to celebrate the autism. It's not right. to make anybody conscious, nothing about this shit. It's not to educate, it's to celebrate. We will highlight the amazing people doing amazing things. And I don't know if I said this about the documentary. I would love, for instance, to have your own participation in the documentary. What you have done with that horse walking the giant Muppets that you create. It's outstanding, my friend. Nobody knows how to do that kind of shit. And I know you do it with the legs on your back. It's not a big deal to you create these amazing things. And I think you agree with me that your ability to create your artist's skills and your amazing intelligence and creative are from your autistic spectrum. Your autistic personality, your autistic power made you so fucking amazing, interested in that shit that make you the better in the world to make them.
Yep, absolutely. Same for you, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yep, absolutely. You know?
And I mean,
you know, just... Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I want a director that understands that, because it's not just a documentary. I need that. I need a guy or a woman that understand what it means. And I don't want a dad or a father of autistic son to do the movie. So this is the difficult part, you know?
Yep. But they could be from any country, right?
Yeah. We will find. Okay. We will do this podcast. And I have no doubt.
The
director will appear.
Right, exactly, right. Your background in advertising and everything else is like...
Yeah,
we'll develop. We develop the audience.
Yeah.
We develop all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that then we know when we're going in for it. It's just like, no. We have all sorts of data. We have all sorts of people. And they'll be beating a path to our door.
Yeah,
right?
This I am recording this conversation. This is will be our first episode, and I want to put a pin here to our future. I don't know if you saw that Sir Anthony Hopkins find himself in the spectrum after the
code. Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
I had no idea. There's a great New Zealand comedian. Her name is Hannah Gadsby. Have you heard of her?
Yeah, she is amazing.
Gadsby, she's amazing, isn't she?
We will have Anthony Hopkins and Hannah Gadsby on this podcast.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
This is great. It's going to be great. It's everybody's going to be like, oh, yes. I mean, Anthony Hopkins is like, oh, yes. I want to talk to, Jimmy. Yes, Jimmy. Oh, I want to talk to Jimmy. And then who's this other bloke with the beard? Yeah.
He has a cat and he's in love with his cat.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. But see, you know, it's great. Everybody's going to want to talk to you. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm over here too.
Yeah.
This is a good... Okay, one last thing I want to leave you with, because I know you have a call in 15 minutes,
yeah.
But I thought you'd be interested in this too. So, I had foot surgery in December.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a big problem. Okay. Do you know what a bunion is? Do you know the word bunion?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, this is always, I'm sorry, if I keep saying things about Raphael, where it's like, do you know this word? It's just like, I know English isn't your first. So when you go like, yeah, I know what a bunion is. It's like,
no, yeah.
Okay. Because if you said bunion in Portuguese, I'd be like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, was that something you could have for lunch? What is bunion in Portuguese?
It's the Bugs Bunny, the Looney Tunes, you know?
So anyway, one of the things that happened was I was taking painkillers, opioids, right? And one of the things that opioids does is it causes constipation, right?
Yeah.
Totally nothing, right? So then I had to get things going again. And then when everything got going again, I was kind of like, you know, all of a sudden I'm thinking, is it normal to go to the bathroom 6 or 8 times a day? Because I've done it all my life. And I was like, maybe it's not. And then, you know, it's like I eat a meal and my stomach's gurgling. And within, you know, within minutes after eating, I have to go to the bathroom. So I called my doctor about it. And she's like, I think you might have irritable bowel syndrome. Have you heard about, you know what that is?
No.
Okay. So IBS, it's basically, it's a thing where the microbes, it's a whole lot of stuff, but basically what ends up happening is your insides are going, rah, 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 and you have a lot of gas, so you fart a lot. You always feel like you have to go to the bathroom, et cetera, et cetera. So I went to see a gastroenterologist, you know, someone who specializes in all of this. Now, because I'm autistic, I not only knew about this, but of course I had to do my research. And there are links between problems with the bowels and autism. So I'm just saying that to you as a fellow, if you've ever had anything going on with your insides that you've kind of been like, they are fine. See, ding. There are links. Now, of course, where have most of these links been studied? In which population of autistic people? Children. Of course, right? And so when you read literature, there's a lot of stuff of like, well, we're not really sure if it's an actual thing or if it's because autistic kids don't really eat good diets and are they, you know, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, but there is a link of some kind. And therefore, going to this doctor, I wanted to make sure that right up front, she knew that I was autistic so that if she could go, oh, well, let's look at this or that, I felt it was important. So I said, so we're talking and da-da-da, and I said, oh, and by the way, I really need to tell you, I'm autistic, links, da-da-da-da-da, you know, but I'm autistic. And she looks at me and goes, well, you certainly are high-functioning.
I love it. I love it.
And I was just like, oh, my God, have you not... The most you've taken away from our conversation is that I'm high functioning,
and you
think it's important that you tell me what you think, because clearly you think that, you know, patting me on the head. Oh, look, you're almost a human being. You're almost.
I will find a quote about high function that I pin it. To show you, hold a second. That I love.
Is that Jimmy? Is that Jimmy?
Yeah, he wants to kill the dogs, the neighbor's dog, and I need to pay attention.
You recognize what he's saying.
Yeah. Now he is trying to kill the other dogs because I am not paying attention on him. Motherfucker, where is my Aspie? But I am paying attention on him. Let me find here the quotes. Hold a second.
Yep.
Jimmy, thank you. Two seconds.
I told you, he was there trying to kill the dogs, the neighbor's dog. Where is the fucking quote? I love that quote. I don't know. I function. Oh my God. I am not finding the fucking quote. When I turn off the call, I will find it.
Okay.
And I will send to you. It's something like high functioning doesn't mean less autistic, you know?
Right, right, right. But you know exactly.
I find it. The worst thing about having high... It's one quote, but there is another. The worst thing about having high functioning autism is that you are too weird to be considered normal, but too normal for people to believe you are autistic.
Perfect. Yes, exactly. And that's exactly what it sounded like. You know, it's just like, oh, here's human. See, you could say normal, right? But yeah. I look at it as like, no, it's human. You're not quite human enough. But I want to congratulate you on looking almost human, you know? I have to tell you, that thing made me so angry because it's like, look, this is your profession and you're a fairly young doctor, right?
Yeah.
So this means you're not paying attention to literature. It means you're not looking at things. And when someone comes in here and says there's a connection between these things, you don't say, that's interesting. I will make a note of that and I'll look into it. Instead, you say, I'm not going to pay any attention to what you just said. I'm going to pay attention to how you said it. And how you said it was high functioning. You didn't spit. You didn't hit yourself in the head while you were saying it, you know, so good for you. Right. So needless to say, she's no longer my doctor. I switched to somebody else.
Totally.
Somebody said to me, well, you should stick with her and you should teach her. And I was like, that's not my fucking, it's like you said before, not my fucking job. Not my fucking job. You know, I'm going to go find somebody who goes, you're autistic. That's very interesting. Have you read the study published by blah, 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 blah? Now, some people think, you know, that's the conversation I want to have, right? That goes along with what we were saying before, right? Your job is to stimulate my brain.
Yeah. I find the quote is...
Okay.
The difference between high functioning and low function. High function may mean your child's deficits are ignored, and low function may mean that your child's assets may be ignored.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's, well, can you copy that and send it to me?
Would you mind? Sure. I will send to you in the email. Email, uh-huh. it's your quick and best communication.
Yes.
Okay. I will send it to you.
Because the other thing I always find about email that's great is that it's easy to search for things and find things.
Sure.
You know, people text me things and it's like, I can't find where that is now. There's no way to search. So
I will email you these things and let's find a schedule. I will work on the A-Team logo.
awesome.
Yeah.
T-shirt, hats.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. I will work on it. I will suggest some themes and we can start with these topics. Let's talk about relationships. And this episode it's about family. This episode is about the smell of fish. and we will have these conversations about these topics, and it will be awesome.
It will be awesome.
Yeah.
So, may I make a suggestion, sir?
Sure.
If we want this to really be awesome, I'm going to suggest that you get a pair of headphones.
Sure. And a great
over the ear like this. And there are lots of podcast mics out there. But just because that way we could just control the sound a little bit better. And then I've got, I think you're much more aware of all this because you were already thinking about it. There's a website called Zencastr, Z-E-N-C-A-S-T-R, Zencastr.com, okay. I think. And what's cool about that is it's like having a recording studio where they would take my microphone input and they would take your microphone input and have two channels. And then when you're finished with the cat, you get it already, right? So that you get really broadcast quality and you can do all, you know,
perfect.
You can do all the stuff that you want to
perfect.
It, right?
Perfect.
And what's really cool is that for the duration of the pandemic, they're making it all free.
Awesome. I already had that all-year phone.
Cool. Then you're already ahead of the game.
And just now a microphone. And our next conversation, I will have all this in front of me.
So, I know you've got a lot more on your plate than I do. So let's, we got 5 minutes. You want to think of another time for us to get together?
Yeah.
Based on, you know, like, because I figure what we'll do is we'll get together, we'll talk, and maybe that time we also do our first, we try out the podcast thing.
Yeah.
But if you want to think about when to do that and shoot me some times, most of the time, let's see, so it's almost 6 o'clock your time, is that right?
Yeah, six.
Okay, so you're an hour ahead. So most of the time, I am free after noon your time.
Okay.
Pretty much, right? Except for Mondays, but anyway. But just in general, afternoon,
okay.
After 12 noon.
Okay.
But yeah, dude, this has just been great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And here's another thing that I think is true of the relationships that I like to have, and stuff like that. It's like we haven't talked in over a year, and I feel like we just stopped talking, you know, yesterday.
Yesterday.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your beard's a little longer than last time I saw it. So is mine.
And a lot of white hair here too.
Is it? Has it? Well, you got to keep up the dye in it, man.
Yeah.
Pretty soon you're going to look like Jimmy.
Yeah.
All right. So take the minute time you need to get ready for your next call and everything. It's been great to talk to you. It's great to see you. And I'm really excited about all this. This is
same
how
here.
Awesome.
Same here.
Okay.
I will start to work on these podcast stuffs right after my next call, and I will email and I will email you what came to my mind as the logo, the brand, the ideas, the topics.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome. And I'll start thinking about how to get the word out.
Yeah.
How about that? That'll be the sharing of labor. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Perfect.
All right. Ciao. No,
ciao, ciao.
Did you say ciao?
Nice to meet you again, Robert.
Nice to meet you again, Rafael.
Take
we'll talk
care.
Again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.